These are challenging times, but you don't have to navigate them alone. Welcome to How Can I Help? I'm Dr. Gail Saltz. I'm a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, a psychoanalyst, and best-selling author. And I'm here every week to answer your most pressing questions, hopefully with understanding, insight, and advice. Sooner or later in life, we all have to deal with a loss. So today, I'm answering a question I got from a listener about a terrible loss. Grief is a normal reaction to a significant loss. It can be the loss of an important person in your life, or a loss of something else important to you, like your home or your health. Even though it is painful, it is also healthy to grieve in order to accept the loss and move on with your life. Generally, people go through stages of grieving, but because the process is so individual, not everyone goes through all stages or in the same order. The five stages are denial or disbelief, anger at the loss, bargaining about the loss, like, if I am cured of cancer, then I will stop smoking, intense sadness, and ultimately, acceptance of the loss. The length of time people grieve is extremely variable, but most people have intense symptoms for at least 2 months and gradually lessening symptoms for a year or more. In the beginning, grief looks a lot like clinical depression. In fact, you can't always tell the difference, and the support you need may be very much the same. Talking to others about how you feel, distractions at times from loved ones, taking care of yourself, and staying away from alcohol and drugs as a means of coping are all important tools to think about when dealing with grief. But for some people, grief becomes so unbearably painful and debilitating, or lasts so long, that they develop what we call complicated grief. There are no exact hard and fast rules, but basically, while normal grief starts to fade and improve, complicated grief stays the same for more than several months, or even gets worse. The person is debilitated by sadness, unable to move on with life at all. Either the intensity of longing for the lost one or thing is overwhelming, or a numbness is so pervasive that they cannot really function in their lives. They may socially withdraw from others. They may feel life isn't worth living and remain profoundly sad or bitter or angry. Sometimes complicated grief causes the person to feel guilty, as though they in some way blame themselves for the loss. That is not a part of typical, regular grief, but it can be a part of complicated grief. While we don't know why some people really get complicated grief, we do know that some situations put you at greater risk for developing it. An unexpected loss that is really shocking. A lack of social supports in your life to help you. A history in your childhood of trauma or of terrible separation anxiety. A dependent relationship with the lost person, an inability to adapt to life's changes as part of your character or personality, or a loss of a person to suicide. Complicated grief needs treatment. The goal is to be able to accept the loss, adjust to the new situation, and become involved in new relationships. Depending on your specific symptoms, different kinds of treatments can be useful. Psychotherapy can help with processing the loss and accepting it, building coping skills to move forward in life, and reach out to others for comfort. Support groups based on similar losses amongst the group members can help by being with others who truly feel as you do and do understand your situation. Sometimes, medications are prescribed for symptoms, such as antidepressants for mood. While the loss is real and the grief is understandable, medication can still help if the mood is destructively low. So with this in mind, let's turn to our listener question and see, how can I help? How can I help with Dr. Gail Saltz? We'll be back after this short break. Dear Dr. Saltz, a family member recently lost custody of her teenage child. Since then, she does not want to leave her house and does not want to interact with the family. Could the child custody loss have triggered agoraphobia? How should I talk to her and help her get better? Losing custody of your child is a traumatic loss for a parent. Even if medically, practically, and/or legally it is deemed better for the child, it can still be totally devastating for the parent, and sometimes also for the child, which only adds to the parent's grief at the loss. A loss of custody is not only no longer having your child with you, it is also an indictment of your parenting. And it can rob a mother, for example, of her own identity as mother. And this loss of identity can be a terrible loss in and of itself, in addition to actually losing the presence of your child. It is therefore expectable that your family member would be grieving the loss of this child. As I mentioned, grief can look like and present like a clinical depression. And one of the symptoms of a clinical major depression is a withdrawal from the world, not wanting to engage socially with others, friends, or family. Other symptoms of depression can include loss of energy and overall fatigue, making the affected person feel like lying in bed all day. Part of this may also be something called anhedonia, a loss of the ability to take pleasure in anything at all, including things you used to find pleasurable. Grief can even present with a good amount of anxiety, increased fears about all kinds of things, and a desire, therefore, to just stay inside, close to home, be in bed. Unfortunately, as you're alluding to, none of this is healthy, nor does it help the person to get better, to improve their mood. Agoraphobia, however, is literally an irrational fear of open spaces, and it most often presents after struggling for some time with panic attacks. The fear becomes that I might have a panic attack when I am away from home, and what will I do then? And the terror of that propels the person to stay home, and over time, it becomes a fear of leaving home at all. It's true that a trauma, even a trauma like this, can cause various mental health problems to erupt, even something like panic disorder and agoraphobia. But this would be a much more unusual situation. It is much more likely that the desire to not leave home following a traumatic loss is the various symptoms of grief and depression that cause the person to feel so sad, hopeless, helpless, low energy, that they don't want to interact with anyone or leave home. A person who is extremely depressed with grief needs to be listened to be understood, to have their feelings validated, and to not be left alone all the time to just ebb away and disappear. That can be hard to do when this person doesn't want to come out, but sometimes it means you coming to them. It is also important to voice understanding that you do understand it is difficult for them to engage, that perhaps they need help and you do want to help. Trying to get them to at least just sit outside with you for 30 minutes or take a walk in the woods or meet up with a few of you for a brief dinner. You might need to call up. You might need to go over and walk them out, literally. Go over there, pick her up, and expect that sometimes she may just do some canceling, particularly if she's in a bad place that day. Have patience and know that it does take time to grieve a loss, but that you aren't going to leave her. Part of the grief can be a fear that others will leave you too. So reach out and let her know you're not going anywhere. It's more important to listen and be understanding than to try to convince a person that they'll get over it or that it's not that big a loss. It is, on the other hand, very tempting to do this, really because you care about them and you just want them to feel better. But this usually just makes them feel that no one understands and makes them feel more isolated and alone, which makes them withdraw further and feel worse. So you don't have to solve their sadness or grief. Just listening, being empathic and understanding, while still encouraging them to talk to you, to get out a little bit, to do anything, is helpful. Just as important is that if you hear they are voicing that their life doesn't feel worth living, that they wish they were gone, or if their inability to function is causing them to lose more things, such as their job, other important relationships, their health, then help this person to make an appointment with a psychiatrist or a psychologist for an evaluation and treatment. As I said, complicated grief, where the person is very symptomatic and can't function, really does require treatment. It may not resolve on its own, and the affected person usually needs help securing someone to treat them. They may not be able to even manage that themselves, so help them make calls, maybe even drive them to an appointment. I hope that was helpful. In the meantime, for all grieving, there are steps you can take to help yourself. Exercise, particularly aerobic exercise, helps relieve depression. Getting good sleep and avoiding alcohol and drugs is very important towards fighting depression, as well as avoiding a future problem of substance abuse, which sadly many people fall into while struggling with grief. They're trying to numb their problem, and they start drinking more and more, and now they have grief and they have alcohol abuse. So it's important to try to not overdo it. Staying connected to family, friends, and religious supports can make one of the biggest differences in the dealing with grief. The first year is the most important, and this is especially true for each holiday or special day that reminds you of the one you lost or the thing you lost. So plan ahead for these days to acknowledge the relationship in a way that feels comfortable, but also to be with others for support. Do you have a problem I can help with? If so, email me at howcanihelp@senecawomen.com. All centers remain anonymous. And listen every Friday to How Can I Help? With me, Dr. Gail Saltz.